Welcome to the Daily VFIT Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We want to give a big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience and our VFN Radio audience around the nation and around the world. We have great news for you. We were just speaking to you just yesterday that we were asked to be able to be in a new time slot in our prime time. And we were talking to you about 5, but it's going to be 5:30. 5:30 on the Gulf Coast. 1.4 million potential listeners. We're going to be there with you. You can see us at 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. We want to give a big shout out and thank you to David Mayo, who has been a torchbearer and a lightbearer for the Gulf Coast for many years. We're excited about what God is doing and is about to do. So don't forget, you can catch us starting Wednesday, I guess tomorrow on channel, depending, go to VFNTV.com and find out the schedules in your area. But down in the, and we're, of course, all of our audience around the nation and the world is listening, but we're excited about this shift that took place because we believe what's going to happen in the Gulf Coast is going to happen in the nation. And, but I know that they have Cox as one of their carriers, sure. Cox Communications, which is channel 13. It's channel 33 on broadcasting. It's on the network, Dish Network, and just it's exciting to see what the Lord is doing. Over 500,000 homes, 1.4 million
homes.
Oh my goodness! You have this one, and then that one.
Right? MediaCom.
Yeah, MediaCom, and so I mean, it's exciting to be able to see that. Also, join us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
You know, God is moving so quickly. So quickly, we're trying to keep up with him. But you know, Brother Kilpatrick, Brother John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, we've been sharing that word, the 100-day word.
Yes.
The suddenlies. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't heard it yet, you can hear it on VFNTV.com, but also hopefully today or tomorrow you might be able to hear it. But it's 100 days, and we're just seeing so many suddenlies. We're like, hold on.
Yeah.
And of course, too, what you just shared about what the Lord just shared with you, that suddenly is going to be, whoo.
Yeah,
let it happen. And of course, shifting us to prime time on the Gulf Coast was a huge suddenly.
Yeah, it was.
And as a matter of my mind almost got in the way. I'm like, isn't that up against Diane Sawyer? And he's like, she's retiring because folks don't trust that media source anymore. Mm-hmm. And besides, you're the news behind the news. I said, That's right. That is the word. Speaking of trophies for humility, you know, I was so had a wonderful time to be able to have lunch with Pat's son Jonathan, and he played football really well. Mm. I mean, he had to. He's you know, his dad.
Yeah. His dad.
Dear
no,
Lord.
No choice, Lord.
Help him always do well in sports.
It's in the genes, man.
It's in the genes. Right. Is that what you call that?
That's what he said.
Jonathan to talk with.
Yes. Time. Even his dog has a Saint shirt. So
Yes, he does.
Of course, the dog's like, I'm a Pittsburgh fan. Anyway, so.
Oh, whatever.
Jonathan and I are having lunch, and he was telling me about his trophies. He got two medals.
His medals.
He got medals. He's a really good player in football, flag football, and he got these medals. And I said, "Whoa, what are the medals for?" And he says, "They're for humility." And I'm thinking, I'm like, tilt. I'm like, okay, so. Do you get it, but you can't show the medal? I mean, how do you get a medal? How do you get a medal for humility, right? And Jerry
and talking
goes,
about
my
it.
Son goes, Jerry goes, does it come with a blanket? And he's going, and Jonathan's going, I'm shooting for four. A word of knowledge out there for those that are handing out medals for humility. That might be counterintuitive.
Counterintuitive.
Is that something? Oh, my goodness. Today we want to be, for humility, Mrs. Jones in our church congregation. She's the most humble woman around. Thank you very much. I worked very hard for this.
And I'm going to work even harder for the next recognition.
And also, you know, speaking of laws, can you believe they're making laws for, you know, the big gulp? You can't have too much soda.
Another one?
Yeah, they're actually making the laws. You can't have these big soda drinks.
What's wrong with your folks, man? What's up with that?
No more Polar Pops. That's it. It's over.
Yeah, you know, too much sugar, too much fatty foods. You know, it's called the nudge. And but they're actually making laws and ordinances, right? I mean, New York's pushing they're trying to make these laws. But at the same time, we're making laws telling Bobby he cannot have a 32-ounce or a 16-ounce Coke. We're letting Bobby buy Grand Theft Auto and spend $1 billion on a murdering virtual machine.
That's right.
I mean, think about this. Okay. Okay, no, Bobby. Put down the soda before you hurt yourself. I'm armed, Bobby. Put the soda down. And so he puts the soda down, and he goes, well, can I buy Grand Theft Auto and shoot people virtually for the rest of my life? Oh, sure, Bobby. Go ahead and do that. Just don't drink soda. Is that crazy? Is that crazy? Or you think about this. You think about, we have all these people running over the borders of America from the South and are killing, robbing, hurting, maiming, you know, American citizens. We have the governor of Arizona and others stand up and say, listen, we got to stop this. This is not good. And so even though there is a law that says you got to enforce this, it's a federal law, then our federal law and, you know, our head federal law enforcement officer says, well, we're not going to enforce it.
Right.
We're not going to enforce it. But then you got this dude that's got some cows in Nevada.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Some cows. I'm telling you, this is not the movies. This is the real deal. And we got to have the biblical perspective of this because as Christians, you know, we don't want to be lawless. But, you know, you're thinking like, my goodness. And so this man's grazing his cattle. And so the federal law enforcement officers who won't stop the illegal aliens from coming over and robbing American citizens go down there to arrest this. I mean, it's like John Wayne.
It's like a John Wayne
arresting him. And we got laws. We got laws now about aliens coming over and robbing our folks from the borders. We're not enforcing those. Right. Just like with Bobby with the big gulp. But in regards to this American citizen who's actually, by the way, I know you probably don't know this for the children out there. Those cows are your future hamburgers and Big Macs,
exactly.
And that's where they come from. They come, your spaghetti, meatballs, and stuff. What comes from that right hip of that cow? Just so you know that, you know, that's where it comes from.
This
the ranchers.
This is important. You want to pay attention.
You want to pay attention. And so they went down. This is what Fox News is reporting. They went down, and they were going to arrest them, and they actually stunned one of their sons. You don't know all the details in this, but I saw an interview this morning on FoxNews.com, and they stunned the farmer's son with a stun gun. And so you got these three John Wayne characters sitting there, you know, and holding the mic, and they're interviewing them. And it broke my heart because you had federal officers in army fatigues with guns pointed at American citizens. So you have American citizens with American citizens, and you were wondering all these purchases of all this ammo and these, remember all the stuff we talked about early on? And it's like, but that's our brother in that fatigue. That's our sister in those fatigues. It's like, we got to be careful that we stay a nation, that we don't let the enemy divide us as a nation because the whole paradigm was bad. And so this in-bed photographer journalist that was on Fox News, I guess maybe yesterday, I don't know.
Embedded?
I guess he was embedded. He was just interviewing. He's going down. He's from New York. He was going down to interview all the guys involved in this, and he's like, these are real people. This is, his heart broke for the same situation. He's going like, we can't turn on each other in America. And he's watching these. And what happened was, it looked like the cavalry because he had all of these cowboys and cow ladies and their children and daughter coming out of the mountain. They look just like a John Wayne movie. And they're coming down with American flags coming down. They're saying, you know, we're the people. You can't do this. This is state land or something. I don't know the arguments in there. And then they were kneeling down there praying. And this journalist said this. This is what this journalist reported. We'll make it related so you can actually have their name. But I'm watching him on Fox News say this, the one that was reporting Megan, I forget Megan's last name on Fox News because I don't watch a lot of
Megan Kelly.
Megan Kelly. He said, these people, when they finished praying, he says, I knew that they were ready to give their life for the Constitution, for the cause of this. And he was so concerned that when he saw that, he ran to the federal agents in army fatigues with guns that looked like Iraq and Iran type guns, you know, and the kind of guns that you would carry, Steve, over in Iraq when you were serving us over there. And they had their hands, the whole thing, you know how it mounts on your chest, Steve, the gun points straight down. That's how our citizens are towards each other. That's what was going on. Hmm. And the federal officers. And the photographer or the video guy or whatever, he runs to the agents and goes, "Stop! Can I approach you? I'm not armed. Can you just, we can't do this. We can't do this to each other." This is a New Yorker. I mean, New Yorkers normally, media-wise, they say, this is going to be a good story. Right. Let's just finish. And that's what Megan told her. Megan said to him, you know, normally you don't ever get in the story. And he says, but once I saw this, I realized that we're turning in on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, paraphrasing what he's saying. And so they started getting on a loudspeaker and said, step back. Mm-hmm. Step back. Do not approach us.
Wow.
And I'm thinking like, this is real. This is not a movie. Mm-hmm. This is not surreal. All this is real. And we got to pray for our nation. Mm-hmm. We have to pray for our country. And you have to remember, and don't let somebody mess with your mind and start seeing the law enforcement and federal agents and citizens as anything other than we're all the same folks. We're the same folks. We live in the same country under the same constitution, one nation under God. And when you look at Egypt, when they had the situation going on, it was the military who were constitutionally correct in following the Constitution. But at some point, the military said, wait a minute, this becomes unconstitutional. And it was them that kind of helped Egypt stay a nation. And so remember that. But one thing before we go to break, I was talking to a father and a son. And the son is in a homeland security or something of that nature. And his father is, I guess, in tune with all that stuff. We don't really pay attention to a lot of that. And so I looked at his son and I said, if you were told to go into your father's house, kick in the front door, and violate his constitutional rights and pull him out and take him, would you? Without hesitation. His own son said, yes, I would.
Yikes.
Yes, I would. More after the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, I work for a construction company. When we have meetings, most of the guys and some of the ladies, they use the most horrible language. They know I'm a Christian and I'm offended by that, yet they continue to do that. However, when I mention the name of Jesus, then they'll run to management and complain, and I've been, they threatened to fire me twice because of that. Is there any recourse that I have that I can get them to stop doing this?
Absolutely. Number one, that is that using language in such a way, it really does create a hostile work environment, and that could create all kind of problems for them, especially if there's women around, and that sets up a liability for them, and they need to be very, very careful. Number two, you can't be fired or terminated because during a break time or during lunch you talk about your faith or talk about an activity at church. Title VII specifically protects you.
Learn more about your rights in the workplace at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on Sign Up for the Newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push Submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it. Sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, It's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision-making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we've got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for the Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. There is so many things happening in the nation. There was a time, if you remember, it just seemed like, is anybody paying attention? Mm-hmm. Is the church awake? Is, you know, as in, of course, what we saw in regards to American citizens, but they were praying. They were actually got on their knees and they began to pray. But I'm also noticing down, not only in Nevada, not only in Texas and other nations, but I've been seeing even in the Gulf Coast where I've been watching, there's been 100 days of prayer going on, 100 days of prayer, praying for revival across denominational, non-denominational lines. And in that, they are just crying out for revival. They're cutting across denominational lines, and it's exciting to see that it appears to be being led by Pastor Ted Traylor of Olive Baptist Church. And what's so cool is that even this week, as it's coming closer to Resurrection Day, and we're going to just, as a matter of fact, we're going to hear from Pastor John Kilpatrick in a moment about this, about the Resurrection Day, is about the Passover. Is that each day a different minister from the city, from, you know, one denomination to another denomination to another denomination, and this is how revival happens. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful to see that. And for those that are listening in the Gulf Coast, I mean, you're looking at, you know, Pastor, I believe, Rogers from an Assemblies of God in Pace, Florida, to Pastor Bernard Yates, you know, a father in his church, a family and a leader. It's just, can't even name them all right now, but it's just all the different pastors that are coming together. And if you, want to be a part of that, you know, make sure you get a chance. You can go to, I believe it's Olive Baptist. You can find out more at olivebaptist.org, but it's not just a Baptist. It's everybody coming together in 100 days of prayer, asking God to send revival.
Wow.
And it is so exciting to see that. And it's such an answer to so many who've prayed. It says, dear Lord, you know, help us. And according to the wall of Jeremiah Johnson saw when he was walking through this area, it looks, that's a wall that's down when you start seeing, you know, the you know, ministers come together into fellowship like that and across denominational lines, all for Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. All for Jesus. So I'm hoping to be able to get out there myself this week. I definitely want to be there for Pastor Bernard Yates to hear what's being said. But this is the Passover time. When you think about the Passover, take a moment. I want you to listen to Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, and just listen about the Passover and how important this time is. This journey up to the cross, this journey to the place of the day that we celebrate as Resurrection Day, the day that Jesus was raised from the dead, we have to understand that there was a huge price. And for years, you know, the traditions and religious traditions of men that God had laid out was a pattern of what was to come. And Jesus is the fulfillment. He's the fulfillment of these feasts. And it's just so exciting to see that. But listen up to Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church in His Presence.
Passover is the observance of a blood covenant that God made not with Israel, but with mankind. Jesus died on Passover. His body went into the grave on unleavened bread and would not decompose. He came out of the grave on first fruits, and he became the first fruits of them that slept. These days are important. And what I'm trying to tell you is, it's important to God. And if it's important to God, it's important to me. This is not Israel's anyway. This is not to do with Moses.
This is to do with God. Let us keep the peace. And the devil has robbed God's people through the years of keeping the peace. I made up my mind I'm not going to let that Nicene doctrine get in my heart. I'm going to celebrate the feast of the Lord. I speak the blessing of Passover over you right now in the name of Jesus.
That's amazing. You think about it. We got to remember, everything's converging here. Everything is converging. And I want to encourage you, if you have not yet gotten that teaching from Pastor John Kilpatrick and others who are teaching on these times and understanding this is the fulfillment. And you think about the Feast of Trumpets, of all the things to call it. When you look at Revelation, all the different trumpets, and the last trumpet sounds, you know, we're out of here. And we can understand, you know, where we are, understanding where we came from and what God has done. And that is so exciting. And also, if you get a chance to be able to attend Church of His Presence in Mobile, make sure you get a chance. You're going to be blessed. It's an awesome, awesome ministry and family there at the Mobile Convention Center where they're meeting. Have you heard about the Heartbleed virus?
Yes.
Yes.
The Heartbleed virus. You know, I heard about it when watching it, and it is a virus that's been around for quite some time now, and you need to listen to this. It could be on your computer system right now, and in my concern, now the four blood moons have begun. Right. It began with a storming over us. It was raining. So I was like, okay, here it is. Just like it was raining sideways.
Yeah.
It was torrential.
My dog was like, four blood moons? What's up with this? Thank God you gave me a house over
here. It's a new one.
It's back.
Wow. Impressive. Yeah.
And so this virus is gathering all the passwords and everything, it appears, of your computers, your banking and all that. And banking industry, as a matter of fact, what just sparred me on was, you know, I've been watching it and listening, but when the banks start to say, we're really concerned about this, that's what really got my attention. So listen up. I want you to watch this because they're going to give you some key strategies, and we got some links available for you on VFN, on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com, that you're going to be able to follow through and find out if it's your companies that you do business with that you need to double check. Listen up.
Heartbleed has the potential to be one of the biggest, most widespread vulnerabilities in the history of the modern internet. At the root of Heartbleed is encryption. Think of encryption like a secret language between two people. The internet has a set of protocols for security and encryption commonly known as security sockets layers and its successor, transport layer security. The most common implementation of SSL and TLS is a set of open source tools known as OpenSSL. OpenSSL runs on 66% of the internet. So even though you may not know what it looks like or what it even means, you probably interact with it on a daily basis. So what would happen if OpenSSL had a flaw? What if those secret keys you shared with the server were suddenly accessible by somebody else? And what if this flaw was completely undetectable? That's Heartbleed. It's a vulnerability that's designed in such a way that with enough time and enough energy, lots of information can be accessed by somebody, and you and the server you talk to would have no idea. The worst part is that this bug has been around since December 2011, and a lot of software packages started using the vulnerable version of OpenSSL in May of 2012. So for 2 years, any websites, apps, banks, or private messaging services that run OpenSSL have been vulnerable. This is a pretty complicated thing to fix technically, and it's not enough for IT pros to simply patch copies of OpenSSL that are running on their devices, apps, and websites. They also need to make sure that any digital certificates issued before the patch are still safe. So what can you do? First, check to make sure that a provider has updated to patch Heartbleed. Mashable has actually compiled a pretty comprehensive list of websites and their responses to the bug. Then, change your password. It's that simple. For more information on Heartbleed, check out Mashable's latest coverage. And don't forget to check out the other videos in our Mashable Explained series.
This is so important. I'm looking at what we're going to make available. We made available for you on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. But social networks are some of the ones they list that you need to check on. There's Facebook. There's Facebook. And you have Instagram, you have Pinterest, Tumblr, some of the ones they're talking
Twitter,
about.
Apple.
Google. No, not Apple. Apple's good. Amazon's good. But Google. These are ones you need to change your password on. Yahoo. Some of your email services. Gmail, you need to be able to change it. Yahoo Mail. Amazon is good. Supposedly they're worked out for it. But if you have Amazon web server, you're going to have to actually change your password on it. GoDaddy is one you got to change your information on. GoDaddy, which is a web server service out there. PayPal is good. It doesn't list it. And we're going to have all this available for you. But understand, when these waves of attacks come in, you know, some of them are going to be, this is a big one, attacking our grid or our technology. But we can stay on top of it, that God will let us know. And we're letting you know now. Go change your passwords and don't make them your date of birth or something. You come get a little creative and change them on a regular basis to guard your checking account, your money, your bills, all your data, your information, everything available on your computer. Don't forget, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Thank you for joining us on VFN TV in the daily radio program. We'll see you tomorrow.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation. And I encourage you to get a device, a radio, or an something, or an something, and put it on your desk at work, and you know, put it by the kitchen sink, and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, a segment that you just like catch a half of it. Don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says, this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? I mean, really mean it. You know, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily radio program. I want to give a big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world. Joining me today is John Ramos.
Hello.
And Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
The producer of the program. We are so excited, by the way, to welcome our Gulf Coast audience in our new time slot now, Monday through Friday, 5:30 p.m. to be there as soon as you get home from work. We want to give you a perspective of all the things that you heard throughout the day. And, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. And we want to be able to you know, God, what does this mean? You know, and hearing from many in the body of Christ and just hearing ourselves from the Lord and spending time abiding with the Lord and praying over it, you know, trying to make sense out of what, you know, if you were to think about it, doesn't make any sense at all.
Mm-mm.
And the biggest breakthrough, by the way, the biggest breakthrough, just so you know, before we discuss what we're going to be discussing today, is that when God revealed to me what we entitled the whole talk that we had for quite some time was, you know, organizers of the night versus organizer of the day. And what you have is you have a lot of people that are held captive by darkness. Their goal is to organize the world, organize mm-hmm. you, and to organize everything and how they think it's best to be done. But then you have the organizer of the light. There's only one.
That's
His
right.
name is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't yet gotten that, you can get that by going to VFNTV.com, I believe, and going to highlights or the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com under series or on your app. But think about this. Saul, remember the mm-hmm. Apostle Paul before he was the Apostle Paul, his name was Saul, and he was organizing the church in a dark way. Mm. He didn't like what was happening with Christians. He was a Pharisee. He felt like he had the revelation on God and had this relationship with God, and these Christians were intruders. Mm-hmm. And that Christ was not, this Jesus they were following was in rebellion to what was going on. And so he, with the approval of the synagogue, was going with a letter to organize the Christians. As a matter of fact, he actually organized a whole crew around a particular Christian named Stephen. Hmm. And got them all, you know, riled up, and they were surrounding him. And Stephen was just sharing truth and just saying that this is what happened. And he shared truth. He totally shared the truth. And when he did that, they began to plug their ears. They mm-hmm. held their hands over their ears. You have to understand, there's a lot of people we want to be able to hear the gospel, and we want them to be saved. We want them to know Jesus. But in the context of that, they might not want to hear it. Mm-hmm. They might not want to hear it. So they put their hands over their ears and begin to just scream to the top of their voices, because they're thinking what you're saying about Jesus is against their belief in God, the God that they're serving. They felt that Jesus, this is a rebellion. And then through the leading of Saul, they picked up rocks and began to stone him. They stoned this Christian mm-hmm. with the leadership of this organizer who organized them against Stephen. They laid their clothes at his feet while they stoned Stephen. Whose feet? The organizer of the night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the organizers of the night. And immediately then he organizes everybody to start running into all the houses where the church was at and going into each of the Christians' houses and pulling them out and locking them up and putting them in prison. By the way, that's the goal of the organizers of the night. Just in case you don't know that, you can look at history and see, but you know, don't think logically. Understand, they don't even really know what they're doing. They just believe what they're doing is right when they're wrong.
Uh-huh.
And they just think, well, these Christians are just in the way. And they're just against our utopia and what's going on. And all they're really saying, the Christians are saying, Jesus is Lord. I'm a sinner. Jesus saved me. He healed me. He delivered me. I'm going to live with him forever, have eternal life. And you can actually have this Jesus too. And that freaks out organizers of the night because they're thinking, no, I want to be God. Well, you're not. And so then Saul goes, and I'm just giving you kind of the understanding of this. And so he was organizing dark things against God's people, children of the light, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in that, he took a letter. He went to the religious leaders of the day and he said, listen, this is my vision. This is what I want to do. And they gave him a stamp of approval and gave him a letter to go find the church. And he was going to go to Damascus. Remember Damascus? We hear that in their news.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to Damascus for the purpose of organizing the church there, but organizing it in a dark way and to persecute it. But while he was going, while the organizer of the night himself, or one of the organizers of the night, Saul, was going to Damascus to go organize the church in the way he wanted to organize, in prison, in bondage, stoned, dead, he met the organizer of the day. He didn't realize he was in darkness until he met the light. He didn't understand that even though he thought what he was doing for was for God, and that it was dark, he didn't know that until he found the light. Because when he was on his horse on the way to Damascus, all of a sudden, the organizer of the light himself, Jesus, shows up. And he is so bright that it literally seared his eyes. It was so bright. His brightness is so bright that all of a sudden, his just it's just like scales went over his eyes where he couldn't even see anymore. And then he heard this voice, and he's going, "Saul, Saul, why are you organizing me?" Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. He said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" That's how, when you start putting your hands on the church and doing these things in the name of darkness, you're putting your hands on Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, at that point, when he met the organizer of the day, he goes, "Dear Lord, I thought I was working for you." He said, "Lord, Lord, who, and all of a sudden he shifted. And then this is what happened. This is so important. Understand that somebody might be an organizer of the dark today. They might be being used by darkness in the name of God now, and organizing God's folks and harming them. But they can meet Jesus. They can meet the organizer of the day. Understand that. They can meet the organizer of the day. And suddenly they'll realize all my compassion and all my desire and all my desire to do for God, I found out I was doing for my perception of God, but I met him through his son, Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, then this particular person who had this great gift of organizing says, "You know what? I'm not going to be organized. I'm not going to organize anything anymore. I'm going to allow the organizer of the day, Jesus, to organize me. I'm going to have him lead me and tell me what to do. And then I will apply those gifts to the church in a good way and organize the children of the light." And I say that because when God was speaking to me about this, because that's what's happening right now in society, that people are being organized. People are being polarized. People are being nudged this way and nudged that way. And the sad thing about it is people are so easily manipulated. Mm-hmm. Paul understood this. Because Saul became Paul when he met the organizer of the light. So Paul said, "Listen, I used to be an organizer. I know how easily it is to get you guys together going in a right direction or wrong direction under a false narrative. I know that if I present the gospel to you in any way other than just straight out directly how it is, that you may organize around that instead of organize around Jesus." So he says, "I'm not going to come to you with any enticing flyers, any new uploaded websites that can turn you on, or any new videos, no witchcraft, no manipulation. I'm going to come to you in power. When I speak to you, I want you to know, and I come to you in fear and trembling because I want you to know Jesus. I don't want you to know me. I want you to know him. When I leave, you can forget me, but I want you to know him. But if I leave," like Smith Wigglesworth said towards the end of his ministry, when everybody was asking for him and asking for God, Smith said to God, he says, I've forgive me, I've sinned, I've done wrong. If you give me 7 more years, I'll make this right. And God gave him 7 more years to turn people and lead people to Jesus. Not that saying his ministry was wrong, but he was just disheartened how people so easily turned to him instead of God and were asking for him and not Jesus. And so he understood. And so, how many, build your church in 3 days and you got a new this and a new that? And it's like, yeah, people are very easily manipulated. You don't want to be one who's manipulating folks. You just want to tell them about Jesus. Sad thing is some say yes, some say no, but also some say yes to Jesus. And then you can introduce them. And I say this before I go to a break, because the Lord was showing me this. He showed me this in a vision. In a night vision, he showed me that these young folks, I was sharing the gospel in this mall, and these young folks were just just excited and all that, you know, 20s or whatever. And when I started talking about Jesus, you know, some went away. They didn't want to hear any bit of it. But these other, these two young men got really excited, and they said, yes, 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 we want. They were excited about accepting Jesus and making him the Lord of their life. And, of course, I'm excited, and they're excited, and we're just talking about Jesus, and this is so wonderful. And then this is a vision. This is a night vision the Lord's given me in a dream. And then all of a sudden, they grab me by the hand, these young men who are excited. They are legitimately excited about this Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they said yes to Jesus. But they grab me by my hand, and they said, I got to show you something. I got to show you something. And they take me in this room, and this room is, like, dark, and it has... Imagine a dark fireplace, and there's a fire inside this in the middle of this fireplace, but it's like coals versus fire. And, but it's just dark, dark, dark. And I'm like, what is this? You know, it's just darkness. And they're so excited. They wanted to show me. They were just excited about this as they were about that. They were just excited about the darkness as they were about the light. And so, when I come in there, I'm looking, I say, okay, I got to carefully, these are brand new believers, so you got to be patient, and you got to be careful how I say what I say, because I want to help them understand this ain't good, and get them out. And before I know it, they're saying, watch this, watch this, watch this. And they laid down at this altar, and that's what it was. It was literally had pentagrams on the side of it, they laid down their bodies so flat in front of this altar. And that's what it really was, when the fire was like an altar. And they pressed every piece of their flesh, was like pressed all the way down. You can imagine laying, your face is flattened, everything's flattened. And they were so excited to be able to show me that. And I'm like, I got to get them. And then all of a sudden a blanket came out and started to cover them. And on that blanket, it had a pentagram. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I said, no! And as soon as I said no, what was in that altar, it jumps out and starts charging me. And then I bind it, bam. And then, of course, the vision ends. You have to understand this. You're either a child of the day or you're a child of the night. You cannot be a child of the day on Sunday and a child of the night 6.5 days a week.
That's right.
That's a lie. I don't care how excited you are about Jesus. If you worship Satan when you finish, if you worship the things of darkness, if you lay down, you have to understand it's not... It says they have nothing to do with each other. What does lightness have to do with dark? And this is important, because right now darkness is trying to organize the earth. But the Lord has called you, if you're a Christian, to be a child of the light. As a matter of fact, he says, and that's what we're about. He says, let your light shine. Mm-hmm. Let your light shine so all men will know and understand that. He said, he didn't ask us. He said, let your light shine. And that's what we're called to do. And that's why we're keeping the conversation light. The light, L-I-G-H-T. To let you know that we have to be light in the midst of all this darkness, not critical, not judgmental, just the loving light and hope of God. But you got to choose, who are you going to serve? Who is going to be your God? I don't care how excited you are on Sunday. Are you still in love and excited with him on Monday? Mm-hmm. Who are you professing? Who are you confessing? You can only be one or the other. Saul was originally a child of the night, organizing the night. And he's trying to take down the children of light. But as soon as he met the light on the road to Damascus, he shifted from being a person who organized folks to a person who's willing to be organized by the organizer of the day himself, Jesus Christ.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The Lord began to speak to me the message that I'm about to bring to you several years ago. But in June of this past year, 2008, He began to push me to speak about it in several conferences here in the United States and abroad. I have been praying and hoping that what I'm about to speak may be averted. However, I'm now concerned that without people speaking up, the church will not play its redemptive part in bringing the necessary change to this nation and the world. It involves five different elements: religion, politics, economics, war, and geophysical events. Massive problems in these five areas will come often and in combination and sometimes repeatedly. Each element has potentially several elements that will have national and international ripple effects. Some ripples will be worse than others, depending on where you live and how you make your living. These things happen when righteousness fails to rule. God wants this nation to be everything it's called to. He loves this nation. He loves America. He loves you. But he can't let us keep on the path that we're on because we're not following the dictates of why we were created in the very first place. The church has to become a living light again. The church has to become something that is a change agent in this earth. It's time for us to think seriously about what's going on. Jet streams are seemingly going to go wild to weather forecasters and cause major weather shifts. There will also be tornadoes in unusual places, and water from some of your faucets will be more expensive than oil. When President Mubarak in Egypt is no longer the leader of Egypt, a new terrorist leadership will take his place. Pakistan will end up becoming a harbinger of terrorists. We are going to see the worst riots in history. We need to declare sacred and solemn assemblies of repentance and corporate fastings in many parts of this nation and beyond. This is not a time for fear. This is not a time for sorrow. This really, really is a time for those who know their God to do great exploits. Trust Him. Believe in Him. Live for Him, draw close to Him, and you're going to find that He will draw close to you. It never fails. Don't make God too small. You can never make Him too big. This is John Paul Jackson saying, God bless you.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFN TV, the daily radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We had just come to a break, and John, talk to us, man.
Yes. Well, you know, I came across an interesting story of a young man who was seeking Allah. And what he found was Jesus. I don't know if you're familiar with the story of the young man.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And so he actually wrote a book based upon his encounter of you know, just crying out, searching out, looking for Allah. And what he found is he found a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's interesting, this story wound up coming out in a book, and we'll make sure to relate it for you.
So you actually, this particular man, I have his book in my office there. He says that he was intentionally said, listen, I'm going to go find Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And as he was seeking God,
right,
what he thought was God, he found Jesus.
That's right.
That's exciting, man.
Very exciting.
That's exciting because truly there's only one God.
Only one.
So he was seeking God, thought his name was
Allah,
but he found out he had a son named
Jesus.
Wow.
And so in this, we have a video for you. You'll be able to watch a little bit of his testimony. But he had to come to a conclusion where now that he found the Lord and has a relationship with God, was he willing to lay everything aside to serve Jesus? Now, a lot of people say they'll do anything. You know, I'll do anything. I love God. I want to give Him my whole life. I'll leave people. I'll leave groups. Well, this man had to make a decision whether he was going to stay in relationship with his parents, his mother. This is, a serious thing that happened in their life. And he chose Jesus. And when you hear his story, it really allows you to have compassion and to understand, wow, look what happened. Look at the love of God that happened in this man's life and how God so transformed him and the mercy he has for those that still have not, their eyes haven't been opened to the true revelation of Jesus Christ. We have this video set up for you. I want you to enjoy it as you hear his story.
if Christianity were true, and it meant you had to give up everything to follow God, would you want to know the truth? I was a mama's boy. Every time we went out somewhere, if I were scared, I would run up to my mom. I would stay very close to her. If I were sick, I would put my head on her tummy. I was very, very close to my mother. My earliest memories are of my mother every day sitting me next to her and having me put on my skull cap and showing me how to recite the Quran letter by letter. I finished the Quran when I was 5 years old, and by that time I had memorized the last 7 chapters so that I could recite them during the 5 daily prayers. To be raised Muslim in the United States was a point of pride because we believed that we had the truth. In my freshman year of college, my best friend and I had many conversations about faith, and we argued all the time about Islam versus Christianity. But one specific day, he pulled me aside and he said, "Nabil, if Christianity were true, and it meant you had to give up everything to follow God, would you want to know the truth?" It took a long time before I was able to determine for myself, even if I lose everything, it's worth it. And when my parents did find out, it was the most painful day of my life, probably the most painful day of their lives too. And I'll never forget the look in my mother's eye. Her whole life is Islam, just like my life was. And now my whole life is Christ. And there's just there's no connection anymore. But to have Christ in my life makes every loss worth it. My hope and my prayer for this book is that everyone who picks it up would draw closer to one another. Muslims by understanding the gospel, Christians by understanding the passion and the love that Muslims have. And ultimately through all of this, so that we can arrive at the truth and at a glory that will be given to God.
Wow, powerful.
Powerful. Nabil is his name. His book is Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. And just goes to underscore the importance of, here's this young man who was raised a Muslim on an American at a college in America. It reminds me of Bob Weiner and his ministry that he has sowed into college students and helping college students reach other students that are internationals. And what happens is that they get saved and they wind up ministering to their family members all around the world. And just to hear Nabil's story is just awesome and just amazing. That's what it costs. Jesus cost everything.
It's not unique, but the sad to say is that we have to have that same kind of commitment. How many people, because it's not as aggressive, the attack on someone's faith or belief. But the truth is, they're saying, don't follow Jesus.
Right.
You know, I don't mind you having Jesus as long as you don't have too much of him.
Right.
As I don't mind as long as you have him and these other gods, mm-hmm. these other idols. Don't give up, you know, this money god, but you can have Jesus. Just right. squeeze him in on Sundays. This thing about when a Muslim finds Jesus, it makes him the Lord of his life. It's a beautiful thing as you see their willingness to say they really, you know, and I think about you, you know, we're going to be talking about, Yusuf, you know, in the future, which is a son of Hamas, is the book he wrote. And the thing about it is, John, and those that are listening, we got to have that same commitment.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to have that same commitment to mm-hmm. God.
He said, pick up your cross and follow me.
And there's just some sort of like an American twist to the gospel that says, you know, every now and then pick up your Bible if you're part of the 3%, you mm-hmm. know, and read it and do something about right. it. And it's like, we need that kind of commitment. Mm-hmm. And it meant everything because you lost everything.
That's right.
But he says, this is what Jesus says, you can't even be my disciple unless you give up everything, because it's going to cost you everything. Didn't he say that?
That's right.
You got to count the cost. And he counted the cost, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. Today, now, his testimony is going all around the world. He says, I was looking for Allah, and I found Jesus. Dear Lord, we pray, Lord, for the salvation of the Muslim people, Father God.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. If you have not yet began to fellowship with believers who believe the Word of God, who have a deep passion to hear the voice of God and obey the Lord, who want to see the Great Commission not be the Great Suggestion, who want to be able to see the kingdom of our Lord come on earth as it is in heaven, who sees the church as the family of God that we are and the expectation of God that he has of us to increase the size of his family, his kingdom. If you want to be a part of the dream, if you want to be a part of reading a Bible and seeing and walking out what you read, if you want to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer and merely deceived, I encourage you. If you're in the Gulf Coast region, join us at the VFN Dream Center. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org or join us as one of our e-members, our virtual members online. Go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Listen, it is time to be connected to a Rhema word. It is time. We need a now word to be able to step out in faith and see the glory of God. Listen, there's a lot of glory to share. And God wants to manifest his glory in your life. That's vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
Jesus himself said this. He said, the verdict is in. Bam. I mean, you know, you remember when the jury comes in and the judge ordering the court, they open the little piece of paper where your whole life can just like, what? And it opens it up and the verdict is in, and Jesus says, some people just love the prince of darkness. They just love darkness. They love the deeds you could do in darkness. There's some folks that just love Lucifer's stuff. You just dust your feet and you move on. This is not, this is the relationship. You can't,
If you try to force somebody to have a relationship with God, you won't even have a concept of Him, and secondly, you might not even know Him. Besides, forced relationship, by our own laws, is called rape. You have to want to be with God. It's a choice. Which is so cool, because God wants to be with you.